Hello. Today, we will be reading from the Business Lexington and the Lane Report. Your reader today is Carolyn Brown. We'll begin with the Business Lexington publication dated February 2023. As a reminder, Radio Eye is a reading service intended for people who are blind or have other disabilities that make it difficult to read printed material. First, Right Stuff by Samuel Gilbert. Jargon has its place, just don't let it muddy your message. Jargon is a set of insider terms and phrases that facilitates communication among professionals. Every profession and role has its own set of specialized terms and acronyms. However, determining how much jargon to use in written communications depends on the intended audience, as clarity is paramount in professional writing. When writing for others in a similar position, internal communications, and presenting to industry professionals at conferences, for example, one can and should use jargon. The shorthand not only establishes credibility, but can also streamline communication. However, there are times when it is necessary to write with a broader audience in mind. As professionals, it's tempting to fill one's writing with a bristling trench work of jargon, similar to how you might explain a concept or issue when speaking. But that jargon doesn't always translate to outsiders. When interacting with the general public or new hires, one should use broader language instead of jargon to describe a thing or a process. When writing a sentence, it can be helpful to think, would someone who knows nothing about this topic understand this? If the answer is no, it probably includes too much jargon. If the goal is to educate or communicate outside of one's field, or to appeal to a broader audience, then consider explaining what specific terms mean or what acronyms stand for. If technical jargon must be used, providing a glossary of terms and definitions at the beginning of the presentation or paper may be helpful. As professionals and good communicators, we should always strive to present our work with the most clarity. If we are writing as insiders or to outsiders, use whatever language will serve your interest best and ensure the understanding of your audience. Next, BizIQ, Top 10 Personal Finance Best Practices by Ballast, Inc. Savvy investors utilize all the tools at their disposal to make informed financial decisions. Key considerations include tax-smart planning and investing, individualized financial planning and coaching, personalized portfolio allocation, investment selection, and rebalancing. By working with a professional on your financial picture, Russell Investments identified up to an additional annualized 4.83% investor portfolio outcome. As we start a new year, here are 10 strategies to consider for long-term financial success. First, during distribution years. Number one, defer and convert in early retirement. A coordinated retirement plan creates an opportunity to minimize lifetime tax, increase fixed cash flow, and maximize tax-free growth and income. When a portfolio is appropriately tax-structured during working years, pre-RMD, required minimum distribution, retirees can defer taking Social Security while converting pre-tax money to Roth and spending taxable money. Number two, donate wisely. Most donations do not get a tax deduction. Tax reform reduced the number of households that itemized deductions, causing taxpayers to find creative new strategies. Utilizing retirement plans to fund charitable contributions quickly emerged, with many taxpayers embracing bunching and/or qualified charitable deductions, QCD, strategies. Number three, seek generational tax minimization even while in retirement. Lifetime tax minimization often requires electing to pay tax during lower income years as a form of tax arbitrage by accelerating income that may have otherwise been deferred to a later date. You can further strengthen this strategy by allocating equity, risk, assets into tax-free Roth accounts. Intentional and personalized investment management, Number four, do not settle for a one-size-fits-all investment management approach. Investment management decisions should always result from the outcome of your plan and complement your balance sheet, personal goals, liquidity needs, and tax scenario. Number five, understand the role of fixed income and why it fits in your portfolio. Owning the right mix of bonds accomplishes important goals: liquidity, income production, liability matching, and diversification. Incorporating bonds is crucial to many investors, especially those needing income from their portfolio soon. Number six, eliminate uncompensated risk from your portfolio. Diversifying our portfolio across uncorrelated asset classes reduces volatility. Professional portfolio construction decreases unnecessary risk without sacrificing return by limiting exposure to catastrophic single company or sector specific failures. During accumulation years, number seven, evaluate investments and job opportunities wisely. Maximize your lifetime enterprise value when making employment and capital decisions. Look to a professional for help understanding the differences between a W-2 position versus an independent contractor, benefits, and the time value of money understanding. Number eight, utilize debt correctly. Not all debt is created the same. We do not favor debt on depreciating assets that facilitate overspending. However, business, real estate, and education debts can expand wealth when structured properly and with the payoff in mind. Number nine, organize household finances to benefit from variable income. Using behavioral finance principles to design an automated cash flow process creates discipline for saving while empowering spending. Steady processes can be established to smooth the variability surrounding expenditures, savings, and tax withholdings. Number 10. Accumulate investments in multiple tax categories, not just pre-tax. Many investors save predominantly in pre-tax retirement accounts. Not considering Roth tax treatment is short-sighted and may increase the tax paid over your lifetime, limit flexibility, and increase the risk of reduced purchasing power imposed by tax increases. Bonus, plan your legacy. Substantial benefits can be created by planning for a beneficiary's tax scenario and properly structuring the account types, both during the original owner's and the beneficiary's lifetime. Now we turn to the February 2023 edition of the Lane Report. Can Weight Loss Surgery Change More Than Your Waistline? By Russ Brown. With the start of a new year, one of the most common New Year's resolutions is to lose weight. For many, though, changing their diet and getting more active isn't enough to make the numbers on the scale drop significantly. Losing weight isn't only about getting into a smaller size or looking better. Being overweight is a known factor when it comes to heart attacks, stroke, and some cancers. As COVID-19 spread across the world, doctors noted that being overweight was a significant risk factor. The healthcare community is learning that weight is a complicated issue, and how people respond to various weight loss treatments can vary significantly. One approach that has become increasingly more common in the last 20 to 30 years is surgical intervention, also known as bariatric surgery. Nationally, bariatric surgery numbers have grown 40% over the past decade, reaching 256,000 in 2019, before the COVID-19 pandemic induced a drop in all non-emergency hospital events. And as the number of overweight Americans continues to rise, more people are weighing their options and considering bariatric surgery. According to the latest information for 2022, Kentucky is in the top five in virtually every ranking for obesity rates. Adult obesity rates now exceed 35% in 19 states, with Kentucky and West Virginia battling for the number one spot in most rankings. Between 2020 and 2021, the adult and child obesity rates increased in 17 states, including Kentucky, where the adult rate increased 10%. Quote, The obesity rates keep going up every year, said Dr. Vincent Lusco, chief of surgery at U of L Health's Mary and Elizabeth Hospital, where he and Dr. John Alsafka have combined to perform more than 5,000 bariatric procedures over the past 20 years. Quote, "An epidemic of obesity is even being talked about now," Lusco said. "It's just really getting out of control. I think it all goes back to the plethora of fast food places, high-calorie beverages, and caloric-dense foods that are kind of engineered to taste good to drive sales. That's what people eat, and they aren't as active as they used to be. So it's a perfect storm to create this epidemic," end quote. A recent report from Trust for America's Health, a nonprofit health policy organization, shows that Kentucky has the second highest adult obesity rate in the country, and Kentucky children aged 10 to 17 have the highest rate for that age group. 4 of every 10 Kentucky adults are obese, and 72.3% are either obese or overweight, third in the United States. Kentucky's overall obesity rate is 40.3%, just behind West Virginia's 40.6%. Among the state's high school students, 18.4% are obese and another 17.8% are overweight. Overall, Kentucky's childhood obesity rate is 23.8%. Even in children ages 2 to 4, the rate is an alarming 16.3%. In addition to a high-calorie food system, Trust for America's Health chalks up the persisting increases in obesity rates to a number of factors, including societal, biologic, genetic, and environmental. Other information resources put Kentucky in the same unhealthy neighborhood. By comparison, the lowest-rated states for obesity are Hawaii and Colorado, both at 25%. Kentucky also ranks in the top 10, the worst 10, in adults with diabetes, 13.3%, and hypertension, 40.9%. With obesity causing or contributing to a variety of life-threatening or serious health conditions, including heart disease and stroke, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and sleep apnea, it's easy to see why bariatric services are so badly needed in Kentucky and are growing. Bariatric surgery involves making physical changes to a patient's digestive system to help them lose weight. It is an option when diet and exercise haven't worked or when weight has caused serious health problems. Some procedures limit how much you can eat. Others reduce the body's ability to absorb nutrients. Some procedures do both. Many programs feature psychological evaluations in addition to medical and nutritional guidance in preparation for surgery. Gastric bypass is the most common and best-known method. It works by decreasing the amount of food you can eat at one sitting and reducing absorption of nutrients. However, Lusco says it isn't as popular as it once was. Quote, "There are a lot of people who stayed on the sideline because they didn't want to have their stomach cut in half and their intestines rerouted," he said. Then, in the early 2000s, you had the invention of the laparoscopic gastric band, and the number of surgeries really took off because people thought it was a much safer way of losing weight, end quote. Now one of the biggest trends is the gastric sleeve procedure. With sleeve gastrectomy, about 80% of the stomach is removed, leaving a long tube-like pouch. Physically, it can't hold as much food. Because it is smaller, it also produces less ghrelin, a hormone that increases the drive to eat. Quote, "It really limits how much a patient can eat," Lusco said. "I mean, it's ridiculous how little their portions are. And it doesn't involve much aftercare, so that's become a pretty popular procedure across the country," end quote. However, he said a downside is that once the sleeve stretches and the stomach returns to normal, patients start to gain their weight back and may have to undergo further revisional gastric bypass surgery. Rather than the sleeve procedure, Lusco said, U of L Health has had very good success with gastric banding, which is minimally invasive and laparoscopic. The adjustable gastric band, known as a lap band, is placed around the stomach to reduce its capacity. The resulting shape is similar to an hourglass, which helps promote a feeling of fullness, limits the amount of food that can be consumed at one time, and slows the movement of food from the stomach. Dr. Benjamin Turner, bariatric and general surgeon at Norton Healthcare in Louisville, said a recent significant development has been the use of an intragastric balloon that requires no surgery. Quote, "This non-surgical procedure is performed with a laparoscope and inflates a gastric-safe balloon inside the stomach, which is left in for 6 months to decrease appetite," Turner said. However, to date, this is not covered by insurance, end quote. An important component of Norton's program, he said, is the nutritional and psychological support patients receive. Surgeries are performed at Norton Hospital and Norton Women's and Children's Hospital, St. Matthews. Clinic or patient visits are at the Norton Weight Management Center on DuPont Road in Louisville. Baptist Health Lexington recently became the first metabolic and bariatric surgery accreditation and quality improvement program, MBSAQIP, medical weight loss site in the state. Earn accreditation, an extensive Baptist Health Lexington and Baptist Health Medical Group bariatric site visit reviewed structure, processes, and clinical outcomes data. Quote, "This includes rigorous reviews at three-year intervals, as well as ongoing monitoring and quality improvement initiatives and submission of outcomes data. More insurance companies and employers than ever are recognizing the value that bariatric surgery and obesity medicine provide in managing the chronic disease of obesity," said Nicholas Wiley, Executive Director, GI and Facilities Services for Baptist Health Lexington. In addition to its Lexington facility, Baptist Health has four locations that perform bariatric surgery: Richmond, Paducah, and Louisville in Kentucky, and New Albany in Indiana. The Center for Weight Loss Surgery at St. Joseph East in Lexington is nationally recognized as an accredited center for the American College of Surgeons, American Society for Metabolic and Bariatric Surgery. Karen Hillenmeyer, director of the center, said more patients and referring physicians appreciate the relative low risk and complication rate of bariatric surgery, so it has become more common and accepted. Quote, "We perform all cases robotically or laparoscopically, and newer postoperative practices allow patients to be discharged within 24 hours, with return to work on average being 1 week or less," Hillenmeyer said. St. Joseph East has a multidisciplinary program that includes a bariatric dietitian, exercise physiologist, and psychologist. The entire team works with the patient prior to surgery, and the program includes an extensive postoperative education and support program, she said. Bariatric surgery is one of the hospital's major lines, including orthopedics, obstetrics, and cardiac services. Quote, "The type of bariatric surgery performed depends on each patient's surgical and medical history," Hillenmeyer said. Considerations such as existing medical conditions and medication needs are important in choosing the right procedure for each patient. It enables patients to require little to no pain medication upon discharge. Considerations such as existing medical conditions and medication needs are important in choosing the right procedure for each patient. A recent development in the perioperative anesthesia care, enables patients to require little to no pain medication upon discharge, end quote. One of the newest bariatrics providers is UK Healthcare's weight loss surgery program. The program is under the direction of Dr. Joshua Steiner, who left private practice after 20 years to start the program. He is an experienced bariatric surgeon who specializes in endoscopic and laparoscopic procedures, as well as minimally invasive approaches to treating gastroesophageal reflux disease. He says his goal is to, quote, "build one of the premier bariatric programs in the region." Quote, "This is a region that has such a great deal of obesity-related problems and diseases," Steiner said, "and the university had such a great need for a program," end quote. UK Healthcare offers laparoscopic sleeve gastrectomy and laparoscopic gastric bypass procedures at its Turfland campus. Besides its surgeons and nurses, the staff includes dietitians, psychiatric and psychological counselors who can advise patients both before and after surgery. Dr. Eric Smith, a surgeon at the Kentucky Bariatric Institute at Georgetown Community Hospital, said his program also uses a team approach that includes dietitians and mental health professionals. Quote, "We know people get frustrated when they're told they need to lose weight for their health, and the only tools they have are diet and exercise," said Smith. "The truth is that diet and exercise alone isn't enough for the vast majority of obese people who want to be non-obese. What we do at KBI is give people effective tools to overcome their obesity," end quote. One of Smith's patients is Kentuckian Tammy Slayton of TLC's reality TV show, 1,000 Pound Sisters. Smith appears on the show with her from time to time. Last year, Smith performed over 450 bariatric surgeries, and Georgetown Community Hospital CEO Cliff Wilson says KBI is on track to do even more this year. With so many Kentuckians dealing with the health risks associated with obesity, U of L's LESCO hopes to erase the stigma of people being overweight and having surgery. Quote, "What we find year in and year out is that only 1% of people who are eligible for weight loss surgery in Kentucky go through with it," LESCO said. "A lot of people stay on the sidelines. We are trying to grow the program for sure," end quote. Next, the talent war. Accounting firms and business schools are looking at new ways to attract more people to the accounting profession, by Mark Green. Demand for professional accounting services is outpacing many Kentucky firms' ability to hire enough CPAs. Meanwhile, university programs are looking at ways to recruit more students, such as letting those as young as middle school know accounting pays well and is more techy and interesting than they might think. The need for more accountants is found at the national level as well. There are reports of firms in New York, California, and elsewhere hiring Kentucky accountants to do work from home, sometimes at salaries that may be below average for the expensive West Coast or East Coast, yet higher than Commonwealth firms can match. In fact, U.S. work is occasionally performed through foreign service providers. Quote, "The talent war, that's what we refer to it as, is our number one problem without question," said Lisa Foley, managing member of Baldwin CPAs, a Richmond-based firm that has 40 accountants and 80 employees at 5 locations. Dean Dorton, one of the state's largest firms, has grown from 200 employees to 350 in the past 5 years, but it is literally studying its client list and trimming some of them, according to President CEO David Bundy. Quote, "Staffing competition is something we've noticed for a couple of years," Bundy said. He attributes this in part to fewer students entering accounting, a trend Dean Dorton spotted several years ago and began planning and preparing for. Quote, "We've changed our recruiting timeline," he said, shifting early contact from high school seniors to juniors. David Tate is managing partner in Louisville and Evansville for Forvis, a top 10 accounting firm created last year when BKD of Kansas City and Dixon Hughes Goodman of Charlotte, North Carolina, merged into an operation with 5,700 employees in 28 states. Tate says that while it may not be quite a talent war, it's fair to call staffing the number one issue for Forvis managers. "While the firm has filled its needs so far," he said, "he sees fewer students in accounting now, especially in the classes expected to graduate the next few years." The positive aspect of the staffing issue is that the problem arises in part from increasing demand for services. Beyond the basics in audit, tax, and advisor work, Tate said there is specific demand across many categories: commercial products, commercial real estate, private equity, nonprofits, financial institutions, and more. Quote, "We're seeing growth in every single industry that we service right now," he said. The merger with DHG added expertise in working with vehicle and manufacturing equipment dealerships that need help with supply chain matters such as inventory management and pricing, he said. Tate has seen only one Forvis staffer depart for a position to work at home for a coastal firm. However, he said, quote, "The move to the virtual workplace has been impactful. People can work from anywhere," end quote. Forvis responded by reassessing its benefits packages and making sure they align with what firms on the coast offer. Quote, "It was about benefit packages," Tate said. Follow the MBA's development model. At the University of Louisville School of Accountancy in the College of Business, Director Michael Wade said one of his top goals for 2023 is to enlist firms and other schools to collaborate on expanding the pipeline of people entering the field, which is evolving rapidly. Quote, "I'm interested in the profession, not just my school," Wade said. "When we grow the profession, we're growing it for everybody," end quote. Beyond growing enrollment at the U of L School of Accountancy, he wants firms and schools to consider and come together to develop a pipeline of future accountants, and Wade sees a model by which to grow. He likes the feeder model the MBA uses to produce a plethora of good professionals. The MBA scouts junior highs to identify players who are candidates to go pro, steering them to AAU teams, prep academies, getting, quote, extra assignments in the form of event games, all before the prospect attends college. An accounting version of a feeder system does not currently exist. There are, Wade suggests, some elements with which to work, such as the dual credit college classes available at high schools in Louisville and elsewhere in the state. The technology that is creating change in business interactions, relationships, and accounting in the field and the classroom both helps and hinders efforts to bring more individuals into the profession. Technological change is making accounting more interesting and attractive to the next generation, but it is making other fields more interesting and attractive also. Quote, "People want to do cool things," said Jennifer Milosuski, director in charge of Blue & Company's Lexington office. Quote, "We haven't done a good job of selling what's great about our job." The fact that there is, quote, "ongoing change" in the Blue & Company operation, Milosuski said, is a selling point in recruiting. Blue & Company office leaders are, quote, "hyper-focused on our culture," said Chad Pfeiffer, Chief People Officer for Blue & Company. "If a company is not focused on a great culture, you cannot recruit fast enough," end quote. Keeping up with changing tech, Pfeiffer said Blue & Company, which has more than 450 people in 10 offices across Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky, maintains close two-way relationships with schools like the University of Kentucky Gatton College of Business and Economics, U of L, Western Kentucky University, and Bellarmine University. Accounting programs are adding various data analytics classes and programs. Those presented within accounting programs or in association with them are a plus in attracting new talent to the profession, Pfeiffer said. But when data analytics is a freestanding major, it becomes competition. Wade prefers the perspective that accounting functions present the best skills foundation from which to branch into specific businesses or industries, be it entrepreneurial or a specialized niche. Tate at Forvis calls accounting, quote, "one of the most continuous learning environments there is," end quote. The principles of accounting and general ledger fundamentals integrate into everything, and Wade said educators now are integrating data analytics technology into accounting. This concludes the reading of the most recent issues of Business Lexington and the Lane Report. Your reader has been Carolyn Brown. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please give our Lexington studios a call at 859-422-6390. Thanks for listening, and now please stay tuned for Readings from the Kentucky series here on Radio Eye.